This is Galesburg's Evening News on WGIL. I'm Will Stevenson. Thanks for joining me tonight. I've seen some of the area school districts' graduation-related videos that are starting to stream out on social media. Rova posted one today for its graduates, among others, and many of those schools are doing virtual graduation ceremonies, and fortunately or unfortunately, that's what District 205 has done, and that's left some people potentially unhappy, but perhaps others understandable. So we'll talk about that with Galesburg School District Superintendent John Asplund, since it's been a whole week and a half since I actually have made a call to John. John, thanks so much for your time.
Well, as always, I'm happy to be here, and thanks for the time.
Very, very glad to have you. So let's talk first about what specifically it is you've decided to do here and how you're going to go about doing it.
So the high school administration, and I helped a little bit, but we put together a plan where we're going to have the seniors that can come in, and we understand there are some that can't, but the seniors that can come in will be able to walk across a stage and get their picture taken just as if it was happening in the auditorium on any other year. This will happen to be in the field house because it'll be a better venue for us to be able to make sure we can uphold the social distancing rules. Mm-hmm. But we'll replicate the stage that that people are typically used to seeing. And students will be able to walk across and their parents will be able there to see them do it. And then that footage of them going across with their name read and getting their diploma in their cap and gown will be put in a video, and it will be available for the community, the parents, the students to be able to view as many times as they wish. In addition, we'll be getting pictures of the graduates just like any other year, so that will be going on as well, so that students have an opportunity to get their picture taken, getting their diploma as they walk across the stage.
How soon will that video be ready then?
Well, I believe that June 1st, they said, was when it would be ready to go. We want to make sure there was enough time between actually taking the video and putting it all together so that it looked really good for the students to be able to have something to remember, and we wanted to make sure it was high quality. And mm-hmm. We're also recording the speeches, so because those folks that were planning on giving speeches, whether it be the valedictorian, salutatorian, or the staff member, those folks are still going to give their speeches. And this year we're adding another speech because Board President Cervantes was gracious enough to agree to give another speech. We felt like we should probably do something a little bit more enhanced this year because a lot of it is what people are just understandably upset, saying this isn't what you usually get, and we know that, and obviously we'd love to be able to give them what they want, but we have rules we need to follow, as we've talked about on here before.
Yeah.
We're going to try to give them as real a graduation experience as we can possibly give them right now.
And for folks who don't know, again, this is obviously related to COVID-19. You had planned on having an in-person graduation ceremony. Then the state said no. Then the state later said, well, we got to put guidelines on this that are, frankly, in my opinion, pretty much close to saying, no, you can't have a graduation ceremony. But And that raised a lot of perhaps ire among parents and the public, and rightfully so. But it seems like that ire has now shifted to the fact that you're doing this virtual ceremony in the way you're doing it.
That's the feedback we're getting. There are some folks that are less than pleased with what we're doing. But, we're trying to do what we can do given the restrictions that are put on us. And we feel like this will be at least an in-person as much as we can make it in-person. It's not what people would have wanted ideally, but at the end of the day, we have to keep people's safety and health at the front of our minds on this. So we're going to follow what the state tells us to do and the restrictions that we have. And I get that there are those folks out there that think that we could probably just go ahead and do it. But as I've explained on here before, our insurance company assured us that would be a really bad idea.
Yeah.
And that they wouldn't protect us if somebody did get ill and we were sued. So we have to protect, the school district in that regard too. And so we really want to make sure that we're mindful of everybody's health. And so, there are going to be those restrictions that we have to do because of the safety guidelines. And And, you know, it's obviously not, as I can't say enough, it's not what we would choose to do, but it's, you know, making a silk purse out of a sow's ear at this point. I mean, that's, you know, we're trying to do what we can for the graduates, knowing that it's never going to replicate entirely what every other graduating class has been able to do.
I even saw one comment from a parent when this was announced a few days ago that the video will be available June 1st, and they said, oh, heaven forbid it be released on a weekend to interrupt the administrator's weekend or something like that. And I thought, my goodness, how much more unnecessary whatever can we possibly make this? You're doing the best you can here, it sounds like.
Well, I want to be sensitive to the fact that, you know, they're obviously upset, and I don't blame them for being upset. I guess the only thing I would say is, we did not choose this path that, you know, happened in China in, you know, months ago and has spread to all over the world. I mean, we're responding to it the best we can, and I just have to believe that comment was born of emotion. I mean, if
sure.
People really stopped to think about it, they would understand that this is not something that, you know, has anything to do with anybody's vacation or anything like that. I mean, we're going to be working over the weekend to try to get this stuff done. And, you know, we've been working weekends. We've been working every day. And, it comes with the territory. People are going to displace their anger on us. And not that I would wish that, but I understand. I don't agree with it, but I understand where it's coming from. It's misplaced, but, you know, if that's what we have to do and people want to be mad at us for a little while, I guess, you know, I can't control their emotion, and that's what it's going to be.
And so, again, that video will be available June 1st, and as soon as when that's posted, we may take some of that and use it here on the air in case those of you who don't have Internet access. So we'll pass it along that way, too.
Yeah, we would appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just got your permission on the air. So there you go. Problem solved.
A verbal contract is binding in most states, Will.
I've heard that somewhere before. I wanted to ask you real quickly, now that my mind's on it, earlier this week at the board meeting, you're kind of moving on, I guess, to the next step of having to deal with all this, and that's kind of the budget impact. Is it still a bit difficult to quantify financial-wise how much of a hit the district has taken with all this?
The short answer is yes, and a little bit longer answer is I was on two phone calls yesterday, and I was on many, but that pertaining to this subject. I was on two phone calls yesterday, and one was a senator, and I won't say which one, but a senator saying that we were going to get flat funding for next year, and another senator from the other party that said we were going to see a $3 billion reduction in state benefits to education. So
either way, that sounds like a problem.
The difference in that for District 205 is $6 million. So we're dealing with a revenue differential of $6 million, depending on who you listen to. And we have a $52 million budget, so obviously that's 10%, over 10% of our budget. So at this point, it's really difficult to project what that means when we're given a delta of $6 million in our revenue stream. So, it's a challenge.
It sounds to me like, and I know by around this time of year, by state statute, you're making these sort of reductions in force, knowing usually that you're going to hire a lot of those people back in the next school year. But it sounds like maybe some of those people, unfortunately, may not be able to be brought back, at least right away.
Well, and that could be a function of whether or not we're in school or not.
Yeah.
We're unfortunately going to be putting up scenarios, and we don't have a recommendation yet because we don't have even a murky view of what our revenue is going to be. On top of that too, Will, we're also negotiating a contract with the GEA. So
yeah.
that's another projection that we can't really put into salary numbers. So, you know, that's nobody's fault. That's just that's the happenstance of when the contract ran out. But, the board has very clearly said to us, we'd like to figure out a way to try to save people's jobs if we can. And of course, we're going to try to do that. But, given the tenuous nature of how we're going to start school next year, we may have to make some reductions because we just don't know what's going to be going on. And, we can't just deficit spend to a degree of $6 million if that's where it came down to. So we'd have to make some short-term decisions that would not be what we would plan to do in any other year. It's just, right now we're in that limbo where we don't know how much money we're going to have.
Is the union sympathetic at all to the situation here, does it sound like?
We haven't gotten into any discussions with them about that specifically.
Okay.
I know they know of it. So, I mean, yeah, I'm sure they'll be understanding to a certain point, and they have to do what they have to do to protect their members. But, it's just a math problem. It's not like it's my math versus your math. The numbers are the numbers. I mean, so wherever they play out is what we're going to have to deal with. And we have about a $14 million reserve in the education fund, and if we decided we wanted to spend all that in 1 year, we'd only have an $8 million reserve the year after that. So, I mean, if we went with worst case scenario, we'd have to make some pretty drastic changes. But right now, as I can't say enough, we don't know what the end result's going to be because we haven't been given any revenue numbers from the state.
And for folks who don't know, you theoretically could spend all that money in reserve, but you're more or less required, or at least highly recommended, to have a X amount of dollars at all times in that fund in case something really bad happens.
Well, that's exactly right. And future generations of kids deserve an education, too. So we can't just spend for today. We have to plan for tomorrow, too.
Okay. All right. So what else? So other than finances and ire over a virtual graduation, what else are you dealing with right now, John?
Well, we've still got the building projects going on.
Ah, yes, so. Of course.
And staffing for next year and just nothing big, facetiously, basically everything. But the construction projects are going along very well right now.
Good.
So we're that's some good news we can report.
Is any of that going to end up being in limbo because of all of this?
Well, we already had the funding for that, and the funding for the buildings is completely separate for the funding for staff. So if there's
right.
anybody out there saying, well, just don't do the building projects and you can keep your staff, they're two different funds, and in Illinois program accounting, you can't combine those, so mm-hmm. I can't take money from the building project to pay other people. That's illegal. You can't do that. So those funds are kind of kept separate, but we already have those in reserve. So in terms of funding, that's not a problem. The only way it would become a problem as if the project had to be shut down for health reasons.
Yeah. I should back up, by the way, and mention in terms of state funding, at least we got word today that at least the Illinois House will be back in session for a couple of days next week, so maybe you'll have a little bit of a better idea of what will happen by then.
Well, we should, but if they don't get a budget done by May 31st, then they have to get a supermajority,
right.
And the Democrats have one anyway, but that always makes it a little bit more difficult. So I know the General Assembly would like to get something passed by the May 31st deadline.
Okay. All right. I think that'll run me out of time, and like I could probably talk to you for hours about all this stuff, but I'm still lobbying to get you your own show, John. That'll just solve a lot of problems.
Compile all the time we've talked, and we could probably do a best hits, like a clip show.
I don't know if I want to do a clip show. That's that's a whole lot of work for very little reward.
Well, that's true. Never mind.
District 205 Superintendent John Asplund, thanks so much again for your time and for updating us and setting some of the record straight on all this. I know you're probably working a lot of long, difficult hours figuring all this stuff out, but we appreciate your time.
Well, as always, I appreciate you giving me the time to come on and try to explain it as best I can.
Maybe next time I'll let Tom actually talk with you.
Yeah, well, that's fine. I'm a morning person anyway, so if he wants to call me at 5 in the morning, I could do that too.
Well, that makes one of us, but I'll pass the message along. John, thanks again.
Thank you.
Coming up at 5:40, we'll hear from Senator Dick Durbin about worker protections in the wake of COVID-19. We'll come back with business news next on Galesburg's Evening News.